This is Dr. Gillum's lecture entitled, My Credentials.
We talked this morning about performance-based acceptance, and we talked about how you have had 40 acres of ground plowed in you, and that when you checked into planet Earth, as your mother and dad were looking at your little bitty Earth suit and saying, oh, isn't that something, aren't we proud of him? The devil was saying, I hate your guts, and I'm out to destroy you. And if it takes me 52 and a half years to do it, I'm going to do it. But I'm going to get you. Sooner or later, I'm going to get you. I am going to wipe you out. Now, if you doubt that that's true, you're pretty naive. Because it certainly is true. He absolutely despises you. And he commits 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to your destruction. And he's a very patient dude. With an IQ of 20,000. And he'll absolutely tie you in knots if you don't understand how to get victory. So, let's look in on my 40 acres. And then in a minute we'll look in on Annabelle's 40 acres. And then we'll tie the two together and see how we wiped each other out. Okay. Well, when I checked into planet Earth, I checked into a preacher's family, the oldest son, and my home was upside down, according to the manufacturer's handbook. My dad was really performing more like a female than he was a male. Now, don't hear me knocking Mom and Dad. I love them. I wouldn't trade them for years, okay? But they blew some things. And I'm sure that Annabelle and I are blowing some things with our kids, and they'll get up and make speeches about us one of these days. But I'm not really knocking Mom and Dad, okay? I'm knocking the devil who produced this kind of garbage. So anyway, my dad then was a very passive kind of a fella who just went along with whatever Mom's program was. Now, Mom was really portraying the male role in the family. I describe her as strong as an acre of garlic. Okay, really strong. Now, when she said frog, boy, we all jumped. Never bucked. Okay, little boys need to be males. We're pre-programmed that way. We need to feel and be male. Now, males have a need to be the strong, solid rock of Gibraltar that can protect this sweet thing from the cold north winds of life. We need to be esteemed and admired. We need to be looked up to. And we need to feel that we have wisdom, etc., etc. Now, in order for me to be stronger than a female, I had to somehow get stronger than Mom, because that's a female, right? And that looks like climbing Mount Everest, man, from where I'm sitting. Okay. You can go several different routes now. You can go the homosexual route. You can just bail out and say, I'll never make it as a male anyway. I'll just go this way. Or you can get very passive, and you can just be a very passive person like my dad turned out. Or you can come out with a macho hang-up, a masculinity hang-up. And that's me. That's what happened to me. Desperately trying to prove how male I was. Now, Mom wanted me to be a pansy preacher's boy. And she wanted to enroll me in piano lessons. And she had knicker pants on me. And don't you laugh. I'll meet you at the church. And the other boys wore overalls. And I had long hair that came down, and I'm 52 years old, man. I had long hair, and there's one other guy with long hair when I was a kid that was a Prince of England. He and I had long hair, okay? Till age five, man. It was age five before I could get that cut off. My brother had the same thing, and he's 10 years younger, and it's a really bad scene. Okay, so I had to set out to live that down. Now, what can you do to prove that you're male? Well, you can be vulgar and profane. And so that's what I set out to do. Even at age five, I can remember being very vulgar. Now, back then, that would work pretty well, but I don't think it worked now, Tom, because women are vulgar now, so it wouldn't work. You can be You can seduce a bunch of women during your teen years. But now remember from this morning, you learn about yourself from the reactions of others. Now, my mom had never kissed me in my life, my dad either. My mom told me she loved me for the first time 3 days ago. And she said, "We love you." And praise the Lord, she'll get her out of that eye. She'll get there. We're trusting the Lord for it. Oh, she's really growing in the Lord. Anyway. Okay, so I never had been kissed, so I didn't feel kissable. You know, it took me like, I don't know, a long time to kiss my first girl. I'd get nearly around her lips and then go back, you know, to her again. Couldn't get there, man, because I felt unkissable. You know, why would she want to kiss me, you know? Because I just felt yucky. So if I didn't feel kissable, then did I feel sexable? And of course the answer to that is absolutely no. So I was terrified of that scene. But I did it all up here. And the fantasies then, with the pornographic material and the window peeking, all that kind of stuff, I just thought, I just lusted all the time. Now, this is all a part of Satan building a program into this kid. It's all a part of the destructive pattern. Okay, what else can you do? Well, you can be an athlete. And where I was reared in Oklahoma, it's just like Texas. That means football. Basketball didn't count, Bobby. Sorry about that. But in Oklahoma, it didn't even count. See, you had to be a football player. Now then, if you're 15 years old and your earth suit is 5'2", and if it weighs 110, and it doesn't have any hair on its leg, it doesn't have any fuzz on its cheek, and if it's got to be a football player, then you're in trouble, right? But I was out there. I was out there busting myself because I so desperately needed to be a football player. Do you see that? And when I got my jacket, it was one of the greatest moments of my life. I revered that thing because I could lay that thing on, and that was proof of how masculine I was. I really overdid it. Okay, I'd have made you sick if you'd have been. I'm making you sick now. Go ahead and say it. Okay. Now, what else can you do? Well, you can eliminate the opposition. Now, who's the opposition? Women. They're the ones that are keeping me from making it, aren't they? What kind of women? Strong ones or weak ones?
Strong
women. Barbara Walters, I would have eaten her lunch, man. If she'd have been Billie Jean King, I would have destroyed her. Not on the tennis court. Mm-mm. With my tongue. Criticism. Sarcasm. Punishing statements. I would have reduced her to tears because of her strength. It would have intimidated me. You see that? It was keeping me from being male. And all of this is part of this plot that we've been talking about now. Now then, I carried this garbage then into a marriage relationship with Annabelle. And then as we got into the marriage, you know, after we got there and had been married a while, I began to direct all of this garbage against this sweet thing. Now, guess what kind of a woman I would marry? A weak one or a strong one?
Strong
one. Right. Good guess. Now, why? Because my feeler is stuck over here on I don't feel able to male. See? So I feel more like a boy who needs a mother. That's what I feel like. And so I marry somebody that I can shove all the responsibility over onto and let her carry the weight. Let her make all the decisions. Let her keep the books. Let her decide what to do with the kids and so forth. And then I sit back over here and just shoot her down. So you just cut her down with sarcasm. And I just began to really rip her. For instance, with this performance-based garbage stuff I was talking about a while ago, she wanted so badly to perform. And so she gets up early in the morning and she bakes biscuits for me, and here I come. I say, "Biscuits?" "Yes, dear. I believe they got a little too brown this morning, honey." And I sit down and eat half the platter. So, wanting to please, she says, "Well, I'll just turn the timer down a minute less, and that'll fix that." And so I get up then a few days later, come downstairs. "Biscuits?" "Yes.
I don't believe they got quite brown enough this morning, honey. And I sit down, eat half a platter. And so she goes grocery shopping. And I say, don't you know that Del Monte green beans are a nickel higher than sure finds? So wanting to please, she goes out next week and buys a case of sure finds, failing to notice Del Monte's are on sale for 6 cents off this week. And so, of course, I bring this to her attention, and I absolutely reduced her to where she couldn't boil water. I mean, I heard a big bang out in the backyard one night about our fourth or fifth year of marriage, and I really believed she had killed herself. Praise God, it was just a piece of metal blowing up against the building. But that's how bad it was. I destroyed this precious person with my tongue. Then I got saved. And everything was beautiful from there on out, right?
Wrong.
Do you know, I couldn't stop that. And you're not looking at the average plain vanilla guy. You tie the average Baptist to me, I'd have dragged him to death, man. President of the Soul Winners Club and all that stuff. See, I was the big dude now. But I would come home and I could not hack it. I couldn't control this. Now, what does a guy with a macho hang-up do with four boys? Well, you can go to any little league ballpark and see a guy like this. Now, don't hear me knocking the little leagues. I'm saying that it's a fertile soil for the dude to gravitate to that's got the macho hang-up, and the world's full of them. And he wants to live his life through these little old kids, and especially if it's his son, see. No son of mine, you know, da-da-da-da-da. And I can, you hear these stories, Tom, about a kid striking out. You know, he's 9 years old. He strikes out with the bases loaded, and they lose the game, and his dad says, "You're no son of mine." And he goes and gets in the car and leaves that poor kid there crying in front of 200 people. I've heard that stuff, and you do too. And I talked to adults that had that kind of stuff happen to them when they were kids. Rejection. Rejection. And this is what I was doing with my kids. My oldest son, when he was 3 years old, had him dressed out in a full outfit, man. The whole bit, you know. Tackling dummy in the backyard. Stick your head in there, boy. You know. Don't be yellow. You know, no Gillum's yellow. Except your dad. Wanting desperately to live through him. What do you think I'd have done if one of my kids had turned out to be a violin player and a cheerleader? One of my boys. Just shot him, told God he died. That's why. I couldn't have stood it. Don't you see? But I want to tell you, my old press, who's 24 now, when my old press was like 13, I had withered him with my scaling tongue, and he turned and went out of the garage, you know, dauber down, and I looked to the ceiling of that old garage, and I said, "Oh, God, I am destroying him. I'm destroying my own kids and my own wife. And God, I can't stop. I can't stop." And somewhere along through there, I began to understand what Galatians 2:20 is all about. That I've been crucified. I don't have to act like that. I'm dead to that garbage. And that Christ lives in me, and if I will let him live through me, he won't do that kind of stuff to my kids and to my wife. I can begin to see a different kind of performance if I walk and trust and believe that it's really him living through me and not me working and doing my very best for him, which hadn't been working out too well. I gave it my best shot doing it that way. It didn't work. It absolutely didn't work. There's only one person that can live a Christian life, and that's Jesus Christ. He lived it through his own earth suit, and he now dwells in me, and he wants to live it through my earth suit. He wants to express his loving life through my personality and out of my earth suit, that others can see something different about me. They won't be drawn to me. They recognize it's nothing about me, but they'll want what I got. And that what I got is Christ living through me. Shaq, why don't you tell them
Well, I've already told you what I went into marriage with. I had developed these techniques for getting my needs met by performing, achieving in school. And so when I went into marriage, it was, I can do this. I can be a good wife. And so that was my mindset. Surely you know somebody after you've been constant companions for 5 years. And that's Bill and I dated for 5 years. Going steady. And I had certain standards for the boys I dated. And especially for one that I would date for any length of time at all. Number one, I hated profanity. Number two, vulgar stories I just could not stand. I wanted someone to be very gentle, very kind, very considerate. And Bill was all of those things. He kept all of this other stuff undercover because he was needing me. And it was worth it to him to play the game for me that way. So when we got married, or when we got into the castle and he drew the drawbridge up behind us, then he changed. And this very loving, considerate, kind, gentle young man disappeared. And in his place came this very inconsiderate, very selfish, very thoughtless, very vulgar, very profane person. And he wouldn't go away. I was married to him. And worst of all, I found myself in the position that so many women find themselves in. A beautiful young woman sat across from my desk just day before yesterday with tears streaming down her cheeks, and she says, "Annabelle, I can't do anything right. He's always right, and I'm always wrong. And it's been that way for 9 years." I knew exactly what she was talking about, because no matter how hard I tried, I couldn't do anything right. And as Bill and I have sat down and gone back over the years, I remember, for instance, one time he took me very lovingly by the hand, sat down on the settee, and he said, "Honey, I wish you'd learn to do just one thing well." Or the time that we were getting ready to go to a square dance, and I had tried awfully hard to look my very best. And as we were driving to the square dance, he said, "I can't imagine anyone wanting to dance with you," which didn't put me in any too good a frame of mind for the square dance. But I couldn't do anything right. But I tried. I performed. Oh, how I tried. In our early years when money was so short, I had envelopes for all the budget. Man, I stuck with that budget, performing. 4:30, when he would come home, I had the lipstick on and I was pretty. Tried hard. If it was a hot day, I'd have a freezer of homemade ice cream ready. Oh, anything that I could do to try to please this man, I did it. And I finally realized that he was playing a game, and it was called "Let's Destroy Annabelle Any Way We Can." I was a Christian, but a weak one. And I remember pacing the floor. I'd get up at night, couldn't sleep. And I'd get up and I'd just pace back and forth. And how many times I have said, "My God, this man is destroying me. What can I do?" What do you do? Well, there are several routes you can take. You can just quit trying. Divorce. Or you can quit trying and just build separate lives. You go your way and I'll go mine. I'm not going to try anymore. Or you can quit trying and just be destroyed and have resentment and bitterness and just live that way. Or you can keep on trying but just hate every minute of it. Just hate every minute of it. Cry a lot. And the first thing you know, you're going to be trying and you're going to be depressed. And this is the route I took. And from being a very outgoing, confident person, as Bill said, I doubted my ability to boil water successfully. And my performance was pretty well taken care of. Depression is a way of life for many women. And there are some of you sitting in here this morning that know what I'm talking about. When I say depression to the point where it's just been obliterated from your mind, anything good that happened yesterday. And you can't believe that anything good could happen tomorrow. There's just today. And you don't want to face today. But there seems to be no way out. And so then suicidal thoughts begin to come in. Now, this was going on after we were married because the sarcastic tongue stayed, remember? The profanity disappeared, the vulgar stories disappeared, but the sarcastic tongue remained. And we were working in the church. And to the church, we were one of the outstanding families. But when we went home and that door closed behind us, we were just people living together who didn't really care about each other. And my theology didn't help. I don't know where I'd gotten it, but somewhere along the line, I picked up the doctrine that God helps those who help themselves. Now, I couldn't find it in the scriptures, but it sounds good, doesn't it? And so I tenaciously clung to that, and my posture was to stand with my fist clenched, and I would say, if I cannot do this by myself, I'm certainly not going to ask God to do it for me. Or he expects me to handle these things in my life.
He's so busy with the Mideast problems.
Right. Why should he be interested in me? I still remember very well the night when I began to see. Remember, began to see.
Yeah.
I had gone to bed, a good bout of depression coming on. And ladies, I wasn't just snubbing, I was sobbing. And I said, God, what's going on here? It seems like everything that I hold dear is being destroyed. My marriage, my children. God, I give up. I can't do it. And then I said some magic words. I said, if anything is going to come out of this marriage, if anything's going to come out of these children, God, you're going to have to do it. I can't. And I heard God say something to me that night, too. He said very tenderly, thank you, Annabelle. I'll do it all for you. Boy, those are beautiful words. Beautiful words. I claimed them this morning when I got up out of that seat and came up here. Because performance is so much a part of my life that if I ever if I ever
well,
was
I'm storing you 98 but everything but that.
If I ever once got up here and thought that I could do it, boy, I'd take the ball and run with it, wouldn't I? Because I'm a performer. So God keeps me ever very aware of the fact that I can't do it. And it's really beautiful. My depression now, hey, I've learned some beautiful secrets there. I know who's talking to me in times of depression, and I know that I don't have to succumb to it. And my marriage now, oh, I could wish that any woman had my marriage. It's really beautiful. A lady in the needlework shop just last week noticed it. I went in to buy a piece of needlework, and it was pretty expensive. I said, well, I better call my husband and check on it. And she was listening in. And when I finished, she said, you must have some kind of marriage. I said, I do. And it's something that Bill and I have learned and that we long so to share with you all, that Jesus Christ lives inside of me. And he can perform through me.
Well, this is what the Lord said to Annabelle. I'll do it all for you. Many verses like this. Deuteronomy 3:22 says something like, it's your God that's doing all the fighting for you. And he's going to whip them. It's God that's doing it. And I want to challenge you to just do something. To read this with me. And emphasize a different word each time as we read it. And as you do it, I want you to personalize it. I'm going to put your name at the end of it. And as you say it, don't so much listen to yourself, but listen to your brothers and sisters saying it and claim that it's really the Lord saying this to you because he says it in his word. Isn't that right? He says it. So let me just challenge you to do this with me and apply it to whatever area you have that is an area where you really need to get victory and turn it over to the Lord. And it'll go like this. I will do it all for you, Bill. 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 Well, you put your own name to it. Now, don't do it if you don't want to, but then do it if you do want to. Ready? Here we go. I will do it all for you, Bill. Put your name on there.
I will
do it all for you, Bill. I will do it all for you, Bill. I will do it all for you, Bill. I will do it all for you, Bill. I will do it all for you, Bill. Isn't that a good one? I will do it all for you, Bill. God, we claim this as your children. We're not second-class citizens because you said there aren't any in the kingdom. And this is for us, and we claim it in Jesus' strong name. Amen.